plan. Stephen arrived early. Stephen, how would you like to handle this? Over to you, really.
Well, I understand you've read my evidence that I have prepared.
That is correct.
So today I envisage that you would either seek matters of clarification or ask me some questions, which I would endeavour to answer.
If you are happy to do that, would you like to summarise your evidence, or would you like to go straight into the question?
It's pretty brief. I don't think I need to summarise it, really. My overall conclusion is that I believe some of the site could accommodate residential development, but I believe my assessment is that the southern terrace would be better left as open rural landscape as part of the Luggett Creek and through the river corridors.
Well, my initial question, because I have detected that was your recommendation, I'm trying to think how best to get clear about what part of that southern terrace you are recommending not be the subject of development. And I have opened an aerial photo from Mr. Barr's evidence. I wondered if you could wander up here, take a pen and put it. Yes, if you.
Oh, it's a very small photo, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But this is the best one we've got. But on the basis that it's a thick line.
Yes.
And
just for a change.
I would draw it probably sort of through here, sort of west, east of that line, or southeast. My assessment is that that's more valuable as open space.
And in terms of distance, how much would it, from the line you've drawn to the sawmill boundary, how far would that be?
I would have to measure it. If I have a plan that might have a scale, I might be able to determine it for you.
Thank you very much. And that will have the benefit that the record will show approximately.
Except I cannot read the scale on that plan. It's probably it's going to be better. And I think I even have a scale ruler. So that's approximately the same line that I've drawn on there. I'm sure you will recognise that with the tree diagram. Maybe the middle of that line is 8 millimetres. So that scale makes it about 30, 60. That must be 45 to 50 metres, I suppose.
Let's say 50 metres.
Yes.
So are you happy for us to have this?
Yes, you can have either take a copy or have it.
Well,
I can photograph and then I'll have a record of it.
Well, my plan was to ask Steph to put it in the record,
right.
So to go on the website, but she can return the original to you after she's done that.
Yes, that would be fine.
What exhibit are we up to, Steph?
22.
22?
Just one. We had a different submitter last week. The Hawthornden Farm, and there was conjecture about the line on the plan and suggestion that the Environment Court, in a decision, used the thickest pen it possibly could on the highest scale plan it possibly could. And I noticed the plan you've just given us has a fairly thick highlighted line through it. I think you made the comment when you were up here that if we measured to the middle of that line you drew, that would be the right boundary. It's just so we're crystal clear on were we to agree with what you've drawn, you'd be happy if we took this the middle of that line you've drawn on your plan rather than one end or the other of it?
I would think the middle is the appropriate measurement. On the one hand, I realise we do need to draw a line. On the other hand, landscape is notoriously slippery, and to say it's 5 metres that way or the other way, you cannot say which is right.
No, we just had that debate last week in Orpington about whether it literally was one side of the bottom or top of a feature based on that line.
I think you have to treat it as, if it's a line within a zone, you have to treat it as a transitional area. But where it's used for a zone boundary, that's a different matter. It has to be precise in that case.
So you're happy enough if we took the centre?
So 50 metres was about what measured, I'd be happy with that.
Okay.
All right. I've just written on my 50 metres approximately in a landscape setting, but your point being that we have to put a mark on the ground. That
in this case, yes, you are dealing with a fairly fine scale here of which side of the fence you can or cannot develop, I suppose, so that is important.
Okay, so. If I ask you about your paragraph 6.3, Stephen, another effect of rezoning would be the loss of O&L classification.
Yes.
Could you explain that to me, please?
In my peer review of Dr. Reed's landscape, outstanding natural landscape line study in 2014, I assessed the Southern Terrace as part of the O&L. So in my opinion, that Southern Terrace is outstanding natural landscape. It's not demarcated as such in the proposed district plan. One of the reasons for that possibly is that Dr. Reed did not actually visit that particular area when she did her recommendations. Whereas I've spent some time in that area, not just with this, but with other recreational pursuits and other assessments. So I know it fairly well, and I've looked at it in more detail, perhaps. I guess that's the difference. And in my opinion, that Southern Terrace is part of the ONL. And if it was zoned to rural lifestyle, it would automatically lose that classification, and hence the protection through the execution of objectives and policies that would go with it. It would no longer be protected from an appropriate subdivision use and development under Section 6B.
And that's because of your reading of the notify provisions of Chapter 6?
Yes.
Of how they work?
I'd have to review that. I cannot remember offhand what they say, but as far as I understand, the only zone that has landscape classification is the rural zone,
yes,
rural general zone.
Yes, we've had an extensive discussion with Mr. Barr on that subject.
Right, so if you tell me different, I'm happy to accept that, but that's my understanding.
I think that is, that's my reading of what Chapter 6 as notified says, but that's, but cutting to the chase, your recommendation that southern part reflects your assessment of the, let's say, outstanding natural values of that part of the landscape. Is that fair?
Yes, it's got particularly distinctive landforms, and that's probably the biggest characteristic that, in my view, makes it outstanding. It also has native vegetation that is part of the river corridor, that native vegetation, and it has an open pastoral character, or natural character, that is valued in part of the river corridor, and it's quite visible from the track of the Clutha River. So it makes quite a contribution to the experience of track users, both coming from the south and from the north.
And terms of your 7.1, I want to test your logic, because while you're correct and chapter 27 as notified, has subdivision as discretionary activity under an RL zoning, there are a very large number of submissions, dozens if not hundreds, seeking that it be controlled activity in the RL zone.
Yes.
And the council staff recommendation at the end of the subdivision chapter was that it be restricted discretionary. Now, so that there are three possibilities, given that no one now seems to support full discretionary status for subdivisions in the RL zone. Would your assessment against the planning background, or your logic as you set out in that paragraph, be different if it was controlled or restricted discretionary?
Depends what the restrictive discretionary matters are.
Landscape is one of them.
Just landscape generally?
Or
is it more specific than that?
I'm reaching into memory. I think it's landscape and visual amenity.
It's a very broad discretion.
Yes.
So it's probably more broad almost than what I've listed here. Specifically talks about nature conservation, natural landscape character. So if you just lump it all under landscape and visual amenity, that's a very broad description. And how that can be interpreted by different assessors, it could be interpreted differently by different assessors. There's a difficulty with assessment matters that are very broad. They don't give a lot of guidance. Whereas if you're more specific, talking about natural landscape character, it makes the job a little bit easier because you're narrowing down on a particular aspect of visual amenity and landscape character.
Well, I perhaps might have misled you in two respects. Firstly, that's only my recollection, so I think we should assume that that is subject to checking.
Yes.
And second, that is the matter of discretion reserved rather than the assessment criteria. So in that sense, broad might be good. Because
it can be good on the one hand, yes.
Because it gives a relatively open discretion.
Yes.
But my concern is that because we don't know the final form of that subdivision, because if it would have moved to controlled, as I say, as many submitters have sought, what would your view be? The logic that you've expressed, because you're here, rely, it seems to me, on the fact that there are two bites of the cherry here.
I think if restrictive discretionary has a fairly broad landscape visual amenity discretion, then there's still two bites of the cherry. In neither case can it be turned down, but it can be influenced in terms of location, appearance, materials, elements, etc. So it really does depend on what the discretion is explicitly. But if it's broad, there's, in my view, not a lot of difference between the two, to be honest.
From a landscape perspective?
Yes.
I can understand that point, but if it were controlled, so it couldn't be turned down?
Well, you've still got the control on where. I mean, if you're zoning a rural lifestyle, there must be an assumption it's going to be subdivided. So it's unlikely that it would be turned down, but it might be influenced and manipulated to have a better outcome. And that would be achieved through a controlled activity status. And I think that's quite appropriate on this particular site, given the context.
Yeah. At 7.6, Stephen, you're talking about the visual amenity from Church Road, which is obviously not particularly enhanced by the two industrial activities either side of the site.
Yes.
I was interested, though, in the visual amenity from the trail.
From the what, sorry, the trail?
From the route trail.
Yes.
And what do you... You have canvassed this in your evidence, but are you comfortable with the level of adverse effect for, if there were rural residential development on that upper terrace? Are you comfortable with the level of adverse effect on users of the trail, either going in either direction?
On that upper terrace, I don't think that people would necessarily find dwellings and gardens and whatever else might go with them adverse, providing that, as I said, there is control over some of the elements, and I have talked about ensuring that there's a buffer, so that could be one aspect the council could ensure. If there was a good planted boundary of karnaka and other native shrubs, I cannot see why anyone would consider that adverse when the alternative is you're looking at a road, a power line, a closed landfill site, poor weedy pasture perhaps. So I think there's plenty of opportunity to ensure that that public experience is perhaps even enhanced through planting. The bulk of your experience when you're walking along that track in either direction is you're actually looking at the river. That's by far the overwhelming natural feature that you're interested in, and that's looking away from any of the development which is to your right, or you know, the opposite direction. So it's not as if it's in your foreground or even side view of views of the river. And I think that's important to realise as well. And it is in the context of existing very visible industrial developments, particularly once those pine trees go, which they probably would go. So you have to have that in context as well, and accept that that environment to your one side is considerably degraded already.
Commissioner McLeod.
Well, I can come in especially for it. I had to dig up a couple of questions, really.
I hope you're honoured by Commissioner.
Oh, absolutely honoured.
So what do you even think about being? I'm honoured to have you here. There was some, I think it was Mr. Geddes, is it? Who's also submitting, or has provided evidence on behalf of the submitter. Just check, but he was talking.
Yes, he's the planner.
Yep. About there was some suggestion that in terms of reverse sensitivity is one of the concerns, because obviously you're dealing with a tannery, sheep carding one side, and a sawmill the other side, both of which produce significant effects in terms of odour and noise. And there was a suggestion that because there's a rural residential or a rural lifestyle subdivision close by, and I think he mentioned 60, 61 metres, that was, the planners obviously thought that was appropriate there. So if you're actually sitting, and one of the questions I was going to ask him was the potential, was that then a suggestion that 60 metre setback was appropriate? Now, in terms of the southern terrace, if you've drawn a line on here and said, outside of that, it's sort of inappropriate. You're actually then almost at the stage of saying that the whole of the southern terrace is not usable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if there's a reverse sensitivity issue, clearly, and it's been deemed to be a 60-metre setback would be required, clearly that wouldn't work on southern terrace. And the only way you could have a house there would be for them to accept a reverse sensitivity covenant. I mean, it is a fact that having those industrial developments there do limit, and I think that's, I was trying to think why I only said 3 to 4 sites, and I think it was, from memory, because of the limits that I would impose if I had a master plan exercise for the site, and that was one of them. I don't think you could fit 5 dwellings comfortably on that site and protect its values and provide for the amenity of the residents. So yes, it is an issue, the reverse sensitivity.
And there's obviously you draw quite a distinction between the southern side and there's two distinct areas.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. And if you you referred to photo four, and if I get you to have a, I'm just trying to get my bearings on. This is from above the Devil's Nook, and it's if you look at the photo, the right hand side of the photo, is that the track heading up? It's the beginnings of the track heading up. I think you can sort
yes,
of see it.
Yes, you can just see a bit of grey. That is the gradient, the track sitting on the top surface, just right.
So the track's come down from Luggett, gone down to, across that wooden bridge and then gone up. So that whole southern terrace is quite, as you say, quite important, exposed, visual from both sides of the river. And this photo, that where you're taking it from, I assume, is from a continuation of that track.
Yep, it's yep. from just above the Nook, which is one of the places you'd very obviously stop and enjoy looking down to the Nook with its yep. whirlpools and across the... So it's a pretty special area around the Nook.
And there's access to both sides of that, so that you'd actually be... That view would be from both sides of the river of the Nook, of that spot, the Nook.
Yes. There's no formed trail on the other side yet. I anticipate there will be in future, but it's certainly accessible to the public and people who explore and fish and mountain and there's gold tailings and things to look at, so it is an important area recreationally.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you a question. On one of your paragraph 5.1s, you do say that the line is not a precise line. It's somewhat arbitrary in the meantime. However, it must be remembered this line is not a precise line. I was wondering if you could give us an example of a precise line.
Oh, I have to put my thinking cap on
for
that one.
No, that was more of a precise.
It is very difficult with landscape because we're talking about things of big scale. You could argue that the ONL line around the top of that terrace to the northeast of the site. It's quite a sharp line with a steep bank comes up and then it's flat, so that's a sharp line. So that would be probably a close example where you could be fairly definite about where the line should be. However, there are some difficulties with that in that if you put the ONL line precisely at the top of the bank, then you might have a house situated 10 metres back from the bank, but because it's 10 metres high or 8 metres high or whatever, it's still visually part of that ONL and intrudes upon it. So therefore, well, maybe the ONL should be 100 metres back so that it actually incorporates the airspace above the lip of that terrace where it's flat. So you are effectively protecting the outstanding natural qualities of that landscape by making sure that development is well back. Whereas if you just had it at the lip, you don't have that ability. So it's not that straightforward where you put the line. And in some instances, you need to include more than what you might think in order to make sure that that's protected. The only way around that is within the rural landscape classification on the other side, you have some kind of buffering mechanism. I understand that has been talked about in the proposed district plan as a mechanism to ensure that those kind of situations are actually managed.
So the actual small-scale map with Judge Jackson's big text there was actually that, as opposed to a line, as you've alluded to, a transition zone.
Well, it's always been recognised as a transition zone. Landscapes have been often said, don't just suddenly stop and start. They tend to merge and blend in with each other.
Thank you.
One point, final point of clarification, Stephen. You refer to the Nook. I've seen that referred to in a number of places. Where exactly is the Nook? Where or what is the Nook?
The Devil's Nook.
The Devil's Nook is its full name, I believe. This is a wonderful Google image. It's this area here. So it's a very distinct fishhook shape, and there are whirlpools where the river hits that promontory, which are a real feature.
So is it the river or the whole area?
It's the locality.
Gotcha.
I'd put my finger around like that. Callum, you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would call. Because it used to be a little pattern in the beginning, it's a couple of waves and whirlpools, and that was all referred to as the Nook.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
It's a very special area if you haven't been there.
Added to my geographical knowledge all the time.
Yes, I just don't know what you were taking pictures of.
Well, exactly. That's part of the problem.
And I think it should get its full name, the Devil's Nook. It's always a lovely, romantic picture.
Yeah.
I think any more? Thank you very much for coming in to see us. Appreciate that. And we'll look forward to hearing the balance we'd like to get hold of this case later in the week. Adjourn the hearing, resume tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.